Well, hey, CrossPoint, it's great to see you this week, and thank you so much for joining us right here on the digital platform at CrossPoint, and man, if you're here for the first time, welcome. We are so excited to have you joining us. My name's Kurt, if we have not had a chance to meet, and I would love for you to jump into that connection card, tell us where you're from, or you can jump into the chat there on the side of the service stream, and just give us a shout out. Let us know where you're tuning in from, as we would love to connect with you. Now, as Mark said, today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And so whether you are a mom or whether you have a mom, which is all of us, we just want to say thank you, moms. We want to thank you for the ways in which you've coached, nurtured, mentored, the ways you've encouraged us to chase our dreams, even the ways you disciplined and prepared us for the world. And so thank you to you and the ways that you've done that. And we've got a great little scene right here. One of my favorite comedians is a guy by the name of Seth Meyers, and he did a comedy show called Lobby Baby. And there's a great moment that I think captures the heart of who we as dads and partners try to be to support you as moms. So take a look.
So would it be okay right now if I did stand up as my wife about me? Is that good with everybody? Every now and then I want to let my husband sleep in. When I want to let him sleep in, what I will do is I will get up very quietly. I will take our two boys, I will bring them downstairs, and I will make them breakfast. When my husband wants to let me sleep in, what he will do is he will wake me up and say, I'm gonna let you sleep in. Because he can't even go an hour without getting thanked. Make it an hour, because there are so many questions. The morning that he tries to help out, there are so many questions. He'll go downstairs, then he'll come back up and just say, like, hey, what do the kids eat? How do I make it? Where do I put it? In their mouths? When they're done, how do I clean up? Do I do all the dishes or just throw them in the garbage? And then I'm so frustrated that I just get up, because it's easier to do it myself. Then explain it all to him, and then he gets frustrated at me and says, I will never learn unless you teach me. And when he says that to me, I am so happy that the windows in our apartment have child locks, because if they didn't, I would open them up and throw myself out. Because how do you not know? There's that expression, if you give a man a fish, you will feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you will feed him for life. My question that I ask my husband now is, how do you not know how to fish? You watch me fish every day, and then when it's your turn to fish, you eat the worm and throw the whole rod in the water. What's wrong with you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I hope, moms, I hope you had the chance to sleep in today and actually truly sleep in as just an expression of a thanks for all that you do for us. Well, hey, as you heard a moment ago as well, we are resuming in-person services here in 2 weekends, and we're excited about this, and we're really excited because this is just steps that our community is taking to continue to get back to more normalcy in our lives, a new normal, if you will, and it's going to be different when you come in here. In fact, there's going to be, different protocols for sanitization. There's going to be ticketed seats, so you're going to have social distancing in place, and you're going to have the ability to grab your tickets online, and there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to gradually help us get back into the rhythm of what it means to get out into the community. And we're going to have 3 services, and so 9, 10:30, and noon, and just Sundays right now, and then all kids and students will be online. So we're looking forward to that. You'll hear more information as we get to that week. Well, I tell you what, it is so good to see so many of you tuning in. In fact, it's crazy. It's crazy how in uncertain times we have this ability for God to get our undivided attention. Have you noticed that? In fact, wouldn't you say probably that most of us, it was probably a difficult time or an illness or maybe a job loss or some kind of medical diagnosis that we got that we began to pray or we began to pray again? It's just one of those moments where we begin to realize that instead of looking around for solutions, we begin to look up. And so Julie and I, a couple years ago, when we were on our way back from the Village Project Africa with the team from CrossPoint, we were hopping onto a hopper flight across the country from Eldoret back to Nairobi. And a hopper flight, let me just tell you, is a bit different in Kenya than it is here. It's a little different than grabbing a regional jet to Chicago, let's say. And yet, I'm not one who typically worries at all about flying. In fact, I think flying is safer than riding in a passenger car, so I love flying. But we were seated in the exit row, and we were sitting there, and all of a sudden, the flight attendant came up to us, and he was just dressed to the hilt, had a full suit on, had this amazing accent. I mean, this kind of British accent. He spoke in English, and he probably could have narrated like a commercial. I mean, he was that like professional and dignified. And he said to us, he said, "Hey, have you guys ever, sat in an exit row?" Because we were sitting in an exit row. And we said, "Well, yeah, I mean, we have sat in an exit row before." He said, "Great, fantastic." And he just reached over us and ripped the side panel of the plane off. And we looked at him with big eyes. And he said, "Let me show you where the handle for the exit door is, should you need to use it." And I got this sense of, oh my gosh, it seems like this is used quite often. And so he said, "If there's an emergency, you pull this handle. But first, look out the window to make sure there's nothing distressing or damaging outside." And I said, "Okay, what might that be?" He said, "I'm going to tell you." He said, "Something damaging or distressful could be fire. It could be smoke. It could be flames. It could be water. It could be lions and tigers." But not bears. Not in Africa, at least. But lions and tigers. And I just looked over at Julie, and I'm like, I think we need to begin to pray right now. and we look back on that, and it's kind of humorous. We laugh about it. But in that moment, it was crazy. In that moment, I was super focused on that moment, and I began to look up, okay, God. And it's crazy how in those moments, I'm not worried about the contractor who hasn't finished his project at my house. I'm not worried about where the stock market is going. I am so spiritual in that moment. And so it's just crazy how when things begin to spin out of control, we have this tendency, instead of looking around, to begin to look up to our Heavenly Father. And this is one of the reasons that I just think God gets way more done when things are, kind of rough and bumpy and the roads are twisty and turvy than he does when we're on the straight and narrow and the smooth path. I mean, I just really do. I think God gets done more in your and my life, in our people nationally and internationally. Think about it. I mean, we really don't learn that much when things are going well, do we? In fact, the truth of the matter is, for many of us, if we think of a time when maybe we've drifted away from God, it probably came at a time when things were going well. This is one of the reasons we say under all the time that we tend to look toward God in times of uncertainty, when we're in tension, trouble, and transition. We've been in one of those seasons over the past few months. So we're super glad you're joining us wherever you may be in that spiritual landscape. For the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at something Jesus talked about, this topic of worry. And you may be somebody who worries a lot. You may be somebody who doesn't really worry that much. Maybe over the last few weeks, you began to ratchet up your worry a bit. 2,000 years ago, Jesus could have talked about anything, and he gets into this conversation on worry because he probably knew what we'd be facing here in 2020. And it's fascinating because he says, "I've got a solution to worry." And the solution isn't just try to not worry. He actually says it's a devotion issue. You need to shift your devotion. In fact, he kind of ends this passage by saying that I want you to seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. And he says, all these things. And we say, okay, Jesus, what are these things? He says, well, all the things you're worrying about, all the things that you're not sure how it's going to go or how it's going to work out. He says, all these things are going to be taken care of. You don't need to worry about them. Just seek me first. So that's where we ended last weekend, and I know a number of us had breakthrough moments this past week. I mean, I heard stories, and I was sitting in some small group, Zoom windows, and I just heard some really kind of cool emotional stories of how God has begun to break through as we've maybe shifted our devotion a bit in this uncertain season. And so if you weren't here either the past couple weeks, you can go to crosspointweb.org/win the day, and you can catch up there, and you can kind of get caught up in where we're at today. Today, we're going to answer kind of the next question. Okay, I hand my worry to God, so what do I do next? All right, in the meantime, while I'm waiting, as my bank account's going down, 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 but I'm going to do everything I can today, but I'm not going to worry about it. And then in the meantime, when, the calls are getting fewer and fewer, and, God doesn't seem to be answering my prayers, what do we do? And so we're going to look at a verse today that we get from the Apostle Paul. He gives this to the church in Philippi in the book of Philippians. And I've got to tell you a little bit about the Apostle Paul before we look at what he says, because if I were to just give you these verses, if I were to just kind of like offer these to you and the things that he says is kind of some advice, you wouldn't write it down, all right? You wouldn't even pay attention to it. You're like, Kurt, obviously he doesn't know what we're going through. He probably hasn't had much life behind him, and so, try again. All right, I get that. So for me, the thing that allows me to really lean into what the Apostle Paul says right here is because of who says it. And so the Apostle Paul, get this, he accomplished way more in a very short time than you and I ever will in our lifetime. I mean, I'm sorry to tell you, but here we are 2,000 years later still talking about him. Now, you're like, man, I got a cool app, and my business has got a cool logo. I mean, we're going to be around for a long time, and you may be, I mean, for a very, very long time, but I doubt people are going to be talking about you 2,000 years later. And so this is a guy who gives us this advice, and he traveled all around the Mediterranean in a boat that you and I would never step foot in, all right? And he goes through dangerous waters, he gets beat up, he gets stoned, like with rocks, not like, all right, just to be clear, just in case you're wondering, all right? And he gets snake bitten, and he gets shipwrecked, I mean, all kinds of things you and I have probably never experienced. And then he plants all these churches around the Mediterranean rim for people who are kind of on the outside of the religious circles, people who never really felt like they were accepted in the religious circles. And it's the very reason you and I are right here tuning in today. And so we don't, you know, kind of believe the things he says because of what he wrote or what he said. It's because of what he did, and he did it without electricity or Advil. Amazing. And so the point is he knows a little bit about uncertainty and about difficult times. Now, one other thing is he writes this letter to the Philippians. He was in prison. Now, the reason this is, you know, kind of important is as we take a look at what he's about to say, you may look at this and go, Paul, this is extremely impractical. All right, that'd be easy to write it off. But when you begin to understand what he's going through and who this is coming from, you begin to say, man, maybe he knows what he's talking about. All right, and so Paul, he's in prison in Rome, and he's going to trial. Actually, he's way down the docket. You know, it's like 2 or 3 years long, so they've kind of got him on in-home detention. And he's waiting. He thinks that at the end of his trial, he's probably going to be, you know, killed. But he's waiting at home. One day, the officials from the city come to get him. They take him outside of town. There are probably 4 or 5 of them. They walk him 3 or 4 miles outside of town. And while they're 3 or 4 miles outside of town, they behead Paul. And that's the end of the Apostle Paul. But in the meantime, while he's waiting, he writes this letter to the Philippians, and he talks about uncertainty. So here's what he says in Philippians chapter 4. He begins with this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. To which you and I go, well, obviously he doesn't know what we're going through. He's never been through a pandemic, right? And if he would have just said, like, rejoice always, we could have been like, well, this is 2,000 years ago. I mean, he obviously, you know, was writing to that day, doesn't understand what we were dealing with today. But he doesn't. He adds these three little words in the middle of this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, this throws us a bit. And so let me explain to you what it means to rejoice in the Lord. I think you'll understand this if we just replace those little words. So if we were to say instead, hey, rejoice in your new job, you'd be like, oh yeah, man, I got a new job. It's so cool. Like, you totally would get that. Or if we were to say, you know, rejoice in the stock market beginning to look better and better, you'd be like, oh, that's good. I mean, I'm certainly rejoicing in that. Or rejoice in your scholarship. You're like, I'm down with that. I'm totally excited about that. Rejoice in the fact you made the team. Rejoice in the fact that you begin tomorrow. You totally would get that. So we get what it means to rejoice in. It means that there's something that brings joy, and we allow the emotion of that to just kind of wash over our lives and affect our emotion. So we know what it means to rejoice in something. And people look at you and they're like, why are you so happy? And you're like, well, I made the team. Like, oh, good. Or, you know, I got the job, or, you know, the scholarship came through. And so we know what it means to rejoice. And so Paul, what he's basically saying, he's like, you need to do whatever is necessary to kind of capture that sense of God's grace and mercy that's been given to you in your life. And you need to rejoice in that. I mean, that's what it means to rejoice in the Lord. You just need to be reminded of all that God's done for you and just how much that grace has washed over who you are. And so rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says it again. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Now, here's why this is so important for those of us who are Americans. See, for those of us as Americans, I mean, we have all kinds of things to rejoice in around us, right? I mean, we look around and we've got like all kinds of stuff. And our kids are in youth sports. Maybe not right now, but most times of the year. We have running water. I'm like, whoa, the water comes right into the house. That's a big deal for a lot of people in the world. We have swimming pools in our backyard. I mean, we have a lot to rejoice in. And so he says there's so many other things that can capture your joy that it's easy to kind of get in these seasons where things are harder and harder, and maybe there's not as many things to be joyful in. And he's like, you know, if you find yourself in one of those seasons, like maybe a pandemic like we're in right now, he says, we just need to step back and go, whoa, maybe we've been focusing our joy on the wrong things. Maybe we need to reform and recalibrate what it means to have joy. Maybe our joy has been in the wrong things. And so he says, you need to reflect on like God's grace and mercy in your life and let like that emotion catch up with your reality. And so this is, you know, for instance, why we sing here at Crosspoint. I mean, every now and then people are like, man, well, you guys like singing. We do like singing. And a lot of you like to sing, and sometimes some of you like to watch us sing, and some of you, you have family who tell you, like, yeah, maybe you should be a listener instead of a singer. But nonetheless, we want you to sing your heart out. We love that you want to sing. Why do we sing? Because this is an emotional thing. It allows us to put on our lips how we feel and to rejoice in the Lord. In fact, one of my favorite psalms is from King David, and this is out of his prayer journal in Psalm 71:23, where he says this. He says, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I, whom you have redeemed. He says, I'm just going to focus on how you've redeemed my life. And when I do that, man, I'm going to shout for joy because of what you've done for me. This is why we sing. In fact, this is why we hoop and holler when people get baptized around here. I mean, not only because we're excited for them and there's been life change, but it's a reminder for us of what God has done in our life. And so we celebrate that and we cheer for them. And so Paul, he's kind of like, you know, even though I'm in prison right here, even though things aren't going so well for me right now, I want you to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And then this next phrase, this next thing that he says is really kind of a surprise right here, verse 5. He says, let your gentleness, which means your kindness, be evident to all. Now here's what he's saying right here. The implication is this, is don't let hard times deteriorate your joy. Don't let hard times deteriorate your character. Because see, what tends to happen is our fuse gets short, and all of a sudden we begin to, when things are tough, we begin to maybe let that affect some of the relationships that are most important to us. Because if you only associate your joy with things that are going well, or you only associate your joy with good circumstances, he says when your joy deteriorates, your character is going to deteriorate. And so he says there's something unique about you. You should be different than everyone else, even in the midst of unique and unprecedented circumstances. So he says, let your gentleness or your kindness be evident to all. Now see, most people, they're like, you know, if you're kind to me, then I'll be kind to you. But if you're unkind to me, then I'm going to use that as an excuse to be unkind to you. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't let something that you don't have any control over, the circumstances around you, take control over your character. Don't do that. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. And then he goes on, he says, the Lord is near, which he's basically saying, hey, God hasn't gone anywhere. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And then he goes on to this next verse. Now, before we get to this next verse, I just want to remind you, this is Paul saying this, all right? This isn't Kurt, this is Paul, because I probably wouldn't share this, but here's what he says based on everything he's experienced. Verse 6, he says, do not be anxious, meaning don't be stressed out. Do not be anxious about anything. Or another way you could say it is don't be anxious about any one thing. He's like, try to not worry about it. Now, we talked about that last week, right? How do you try to not worry about it? It's like trying to go to sleep. Remember your parents are like, hey, try to go to sleep. And you're like, I don't know how to do that. Well, trying to not be anxious is the same way. So you know, Paul, we're kind of like, what do we do with all the time that we're not going to spend being anxious if we're not going to be anxious? So these next two verses, he kind of walks out and he gives us a tool. All right, and these are very helpful tools for how to operate in difficult times and how to not allow these difficult times to control us. So he gives a solution or prescription, you know, and how we handle extraordinary anxiety. How do we handle kind of the times that are extraordinarily uncertain? And the cool thing is this isn't just for people who are following Jesus. I mean, if you're following Jesus, that certainly is for you. Paul's writing to you, but he's also writing this to everyone. He's like, hey, even if you've never really put the trust of your life into Jesus' hands, you can do this. Like, you can tap into this. So here's what he says. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, your marriage situation, your kid's situation, your parenting situation, your financial situation, your roommate situation, your fraternity situation, you know, in every situation. In other words, this applies to every situation that you're going to find yourself in. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to replace, you're going to have to replace that time that you spend naturally worrying and being anxious. He says, every time you begin to feel overwhelmed, you begin to feel that negative energy, and you just feel your spirit just kind of going under, which means maybe later on today or tonight or even tomorrow morning when you wake up and you still don't have anything to do. He says, I want you to do this. Here's what Paul says. He says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, if you were to just read that and say, okay, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything pray, all right, you're going to be like, okay, I'll go do that, and you're going to get frustrated. I'm going to just warn you, you're going to get frustrated. In fact, some of you are like, I'm already doing that. I've prayed more in the last 2 months than I've prayed my whole life, Kurt. I mean, I'm like, God, help me. God, save me. Will you send some solution down here to me? I mean, if the solution is pray, like that's actually creating more anxiety. I'm not getting anywhere with this. Pay attention to what Paul says right here. All right, look at this verse again. He says, but in every situation, and then look at these words right here. He says, in every situation, by prayer, but he doesn't stop right there. All right, he's not talking about prayer. That's just the communication method. He says, by prayer and petition. Now, you go, isn't that the same as prayer? Well, kind of, but it's like he's taking us somewhere. He says, with petition and with thanksgiving. Now, we know what thanksgiving is, and then he uses a word here that we don't really associate with prayer. In fact, this word usually isn't placed in this place in a sentence in reference to prayer. But look at this word right here. It says, with thanksgiving, present. Now, the word present actually means to reveal. And it's the kind of word, it's the word that we would use to like reveal the solution to a mystery. So he's like, hey, I don't want you to just pray like, God, you know, help me get a job and, you know, help my finances go good. And could you help her to call me back? I mean, you can start there. I mean, those are good prayers to like start with. But I want you to spend the time necessary because you're going to have time on your hands. I mean, if you're not going to be all anxious and worked up, you're going to have time. So I want you to use that time to take whatever time you need to take to allow God to reveal to you as you reveal to him what you're really, really worried about, what you're really, really, desire in your life. It's your deepest desires of your heart. And so on the surface, you might go, well, I need a job, God. Okay, but what's the thing behind that? What's the thing behind needing a job? What's the desire there? Or you might say, okay, on the surface, I want my retirement, accounts to shore up a little bit. Okay, well, what's driving that though? What's the emotion that's driving that? Or on the surface, you might say, well, I really need my kid to get this scholarship. Okay, that's fine, but what's behind that? Like, what's the underlying, drive behind that? I mean, don't just tell God what you want. I mean, certainly do. That's a good place to start. But he said, I want you to reveal to God your deepest, deepest desires. In fact, I want you to just kind of get all raw with him and tell him exactly what you're thinking. And see, he says, that's the solution. That's the antidote. Now, here's why this is the solution. Because see, times of insecurity actually reveal our deepest insecurities. And so most of us, we never pray at that depth. We never pray out of our fears and anxieties and our deep, insecurity. Most of us pray at the level where we're like, okay, God, here's what I want, and here's what I need, and if you could throw in world peace, that'd be great. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And by the way, God, I prayed that prayer on Monday, and it's already like Friday, and so like you haven't answered it yet, so maybe you didn't hear it, so let me give it to you again. And by the way, I can't find my car keys. And if you could be with the missionaries, that'd be awesome too. All right, I think that's it. Thanks, God, in Jesus' name. See, that's how we pray. We just tell him what we want. And Paul's like, that's fine. I mean, you can pray that way, but that's not going to like help you deal with the anxiety that you feel. Paul's like, I want you to go to God. I want you to be like, all right, God, here's what I want, and here's why I want it. And here's what I fear is going to happen if that doesn't come through. And here's what I fear is going to happen in my life and in my relationships. And here's my actual heart's desire. Because see, what this begins to do is uncertainty surfaces. It begins to reveal our deepest fears as well as our hidden values. So when I move past these prayers of help me find a job or just help this to go well or help my retirement accounts to shore up a little bit, when we move past all of that and we actually get down to the deeper level, what's underneath the surface, what we begin to see is the thing behind the thing is, God, I'm really looking for security. And I'm really, looking for something that will make me feel valued and important. And I'm really looking for things that maybe reveal to others that I'm successful. And I'm really revealing my deeper concern for my family. And Paul says, I want you to come to God in that way. I want you to reveal your deepest, deepest desires to me. And I want you to move past the, I mean, start there. You can start with, God, help me find my car keys and, you know, help me get the job and help me get into the school of my choice. Start there. But I want you to get to the stuff that's the question behind the question. Why do you want that? And what's driving that? And why is that so important to you? And what are you afraid is going to happen if that doesn't come through? And then he goes on in verse 7, and he says, in the peace of God. He says, the peace of God. Now this isn't peace in our circumstances that we get from the world. This isn't like, well, I had a good day and everything went smooth, and so I guess I had peace today. Or, you know, my kids got through all their e-learning, and I made 5 meetings on the Zoom window today, so man, it was a good day. I had peace today. That's not what he's talking about right here. That's peace from our circumstances, from the world. That's things just going well. No, he says, in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, meaning all human comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now here's what to guard means. To guard means to stand watch over your heart and your mind. Now here's what he's saying right here. He gives us the bottom line right here. See, the bottom line is that maybe the reason we're so anxiety-driven is we've never allowed or invited God to stand watch over our heart and over our mind. I mean, we ask him to stand guard over my job and stand guard over my bank account and stand guard over my kids and, you know, stand guard over my sale of my house and my business and all these things. But what if you were to allow God to stand guard over your heart and over your mind? What if you could have that kind of peace? I mean, in spite of all the uncertainty going on around you and in the midst of the stress and uncertainty, where there's moments of high anxiety and high stress, that you found this peace. See, Paul's saying that that's possible in times of uncertainty when we learn to pray until the peace comes. Not until the world changes, I mean, because that may never happen. And not until, you know, our prodigal, you know, child returns and does exactly what we want him to do, because that may never fully happen in that way. And not until your kids are perfect and they all get straight A's and they make, you know, the honor roll, because that may not happen. He says, what if you pray until the peace comes? And I'm telling you, for every man, for every woman, for every student, when we begin to get to this place where we talk about not just what we want, but what we're afraid of and what our insecurities are and what our fears are, I'm telling you this, as we get open and honest with God, this is when the peace begins to come. And people begin to look at you and they're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? They're like, you know, have things changed? I mean, did you get a job? And you're like, no. I mean, actually, things got worse. I mean, you know, my basement flooded. My car didn't start today. They're like, oh, well, you look like you're okay. And you're like, yeah, I mean, the circumstances haven't changed, but my heart's changed. There's something going on in my heart. I love how C.S. Lewis puts it. He says, you know, prayer is not about changing God. Prayer is about changing me. So what do we do with this week? Well, I want you to reach down and click that connection card there at the bottom of the stream. In your phone, in your device, you can, you know, click the app and open up the connection card. There's some next steps I want to walk us through. Because Paul gives us some really, really clear next steps that I think will be game changers this week if we will begin to walk these out. And God will grow our confidence in him. All right, so I want to give you two phrases. The first one is this, and you might want to screenshot this or write this down, but it's using this prayer this week, starting by saying, okay, Heavenly Father, I need you too. I need you to help me with my job. I need you to help me with my kids. I need you need help with my finances. I need help with the sale of my house. I need help with my addiction. I need help with my marriage. You know, start there. Wherever that is, start there. And then the second part of this is where the game changer part really takes place. The second question is, if you don't do this, God, if you don't come through on this, Heavenly Father, then I'm afraid that. And tell God what you're afraid of. Now you might go, well, Kurt, I don't know that I'm afraid. Really? Really? I mean, maybe you're so afraid that you can't even admit that you're afraid. I mean, what's the insecurity behind the request that you're making? You might go, I'm not insecure. I mean, let's be honest, we're all insecure, right? What's the insecurity behind the request you're making? I mean, if you can't identify the insecurity, maybe you're so insecure you can't even identify the insecurity. See, I'm telling you, this is where you begin. And begin with the thing that creates the most anxiety for you. And so whenever you have free time and you have a little bit of, you know, thought time, what is the thing that constantly comes to your mind that you begin to get anxious about? Start there. Start with that thing. I mean, will you this week use these two questions as a part of your talking to God? God, here's what I want, And Heavenly Father, I'm afraid that if you don't come through, here's what's going to happen. And allow that to begin that conversation with God. And I'm telling you, there's a peace that's going to come. And you're going to experience something when you enter into that level of conversation that you may have never experienced in relationship with your Heavenly Father. And I'm telling you, there are people all across this community that you're connected into right now that have experienced this. In fact, I know you can't see everybody right now, and I can't see everybody. I can only see about 10, 12, 14 people in this room. But if you're the kind of person that, and you can play along with this at home, but if you're the kind of person that, you know, has experienced the peace of God in the midst of incredibly tumultuous times, I mean, just in certain circumstances, yet somehow you found a peace in that, just raise your hand right now. I mean, even in the small group that's working this room with production, a bunch of us are raising our hands. You're connected to hundreds of thousands of people. They can say that's how God works. I mean, it's not hocus pocus. It's not magic. It's just, this is how God grows our intimacy with him. And so I want to ask you, will you make this your next step this week? And I tell you, you're going to experience something amazing. I'm confident of it. And you're going to experience Jesus in ways that you've not experienced him before. And you may look back at this season of COVID-19 and go, man, I hope I never go through that again. But I'm telling you something. There's some things I wouldn't give up for anything. I mean, there's some things I learned about myself and about some of my fears and insecurities. And I learned some things about my Heavenly Father that, man, they took me to a different level. And you have the opportunity to do that this week. Now, I know there's probably some of us tuning in today because, you know, we're looking. We've been looking around and we're starting to look up a little bit more. Maybe you're tuning in this morning and you've never taken a step of faith with the weight of your life and who Jesus is. And that's cool, man. We're so excited you're here, but I just want to tell you, you can do that today. And maybe you used to believe and you're kind of finding your way back, or maybe you've never believed. You've never taken that step of faith. Or maybe you've kind of hung around the religious circles. You've kind of always been on the fray. You've attended church, but you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior and allowed him to bring you peace. Man, I just want to invite you to do that today. I mean, what do you have to lose? I just invite you to invite God to meet you where you are. And so as we close, I want to give you an invitation to receive from Jesus this morning. I want to give you an invitation to receive his peace, his life, to receive his grace and allow that to just kind of wash over your life. It's there for the receiving. And so if you want to do that today and allow Jesus to begin to bring peace into your life, you can do it by praying this prayer right here that just says, Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And right now, I place my faith in him as my Savior. And I want to thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sin. Will you fill me with your peace? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And so if you want to put your weight of your life into who Jesus is, you want to receive him, begin that relationship, begin to receive that peace, you can pray this prayer right now. And you can do it right where you're at in the comfort of your home, your bedroom, your living room. You know, you can do it under your breath. There may be others in the room with you. There's something powerful about doing it out loud. And so I invite you to say this out loud if you want to take your first step of faith or maybe renew a step of faith that you started years ago, but you've just kind of strayed away. And so right now, with eyes open and heads unbowed, if you're ready to take a step of faith and put the weight of your life into Jesus, just pray this prayer with me out loud where you're at right now. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And right now I place my faith in him as my Savior and Lord, and I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Will you please fill me with your peace? In Jesus' name I pray. I want to pray for the rest of us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for every single person who may have prayed that prayer right there just now. I pray that as they're receiving you, that you would receive them. And God, there's probably a number of us right now who this is all kind of new. I mean, this is a bit new of us thinking about, okay, how do I really get raw before you, God? How do I really get honest and authentic before you? And so I just pray that you will help us to do that this week. I pray that you create some breakthrough moments as we get to the thing behind the things that we've been praying about. As we ask the question, okay, here's what I want, God, but why do I want that? What's the thing beneath that that I'm going to begin to trust you in? And God, as we continue through this season, I mean, we want things to get better, and we just pray that you will continue to give wisdom and guidance to our doctors and scientists and our first responders and frontline workers that are caring for people. And God, we pray that you will continue to create a solution to this pandemic that we're we're experiencing right now. But God, in the midst of this, I just pray that we don't waste this season. I pray that you get the most mileage out of this season as possible. And in our hearts and our lives, God, for those of us who are maybe trusting you and we're getting a sense of some things we want to just kind of dialogue with you on this week and just get real raw and say, okay, God, here's the thing behind the thing. And as we hand that to you, God, would you reward those individuals and help them to see that you are there and you're working in their life right now? And so, God, give us the courage to start and pray this way this week. And God, I pray that you would bring a peace that surpasses all human understanding, that even though the circumstances may not be changing all that much, there's something changing in our hearts, and we thank you, God, for doing that work. And now we're going to sing, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to remember why we're to sing and rejoice in you, Jesus. So thank you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.